Why have you shown up today?
Just because I feel very strongly about issues like, you know, fair trial, the rule of law. They're like keystones of our society, of our democracy. You know, it doesn't really matter who you're talking about. They deserve a fair trial and something worth standing up for.
Sure. That's the David Hicks saga. It's hard to believe how long and intensely it did grip Australia. Here on The Wire, we did 61 stories over the years about David Hicks. And today, as part of The Wire's 15th anniversary, we're looking back at that story. Steve Kenny was David Hicks' first lawyer and his first visitor to be allowed into the infamous Guantanamo Bay. He came into The Wire studios earlier today to reflect on the David Hicks saga and the sad legacy it's left in terms of the West's attitude to human rights. He says David was an unfortunate victim of America's need to be seen to react to 9/11.
His trial was intended to be a show trial, and that's why I was allowed in. They had put so much pressure on David. They had made so many promises to him about doing deals with him that the idea was he was the only Western prisoner they had at that time in Guantanamo Bay. But they were thinking of him just pleading guilty and doing 10 or 15 years in Guantanamo Bay before he was released. But the problem was David Hicks hadn't committed any crime anywhere.
Look, there wouldn't be too much pressure on the Americans to send him home. They don't really want him there. They want him back here. And it's the Australian government that are holding up the situation.
Then his father stepped into the picture. How much has Terry Hicks had to do with raising David's cause?
Terry was instrumental in it. His genuineness came across, you know, very plainly to people when they saw him. And Terry's demand was very simple, that if my son has done something wrong, bring him before a court, have him charged, give him proper representation and a chance to defend himself. Don't lock him up, hide him away on some island, where they said they had taken him beyond the law. And that was the most outrageous thing that they could say.
So support grew in Australia, and it came from fairly unlikely corners, didn't it?
He either should have been brought home and charged in Australia, or the United States, if they really wanted to charge him, should have brought him before a civilian court in America.
So we even had people like Malcolm Fraser step in.
Yes, and indeed, you know, when I spoke to some military people, once they understood the damage that the Americans were doing to the Geneva Convention by taking prisoners of war beyond the law, they became quite concerned about it, and rightly so. I mean, it's no coincidence that we now see real terrorists dressing people up in orange jumpsuits, as the Americans did in Guantanamo Bay, and cutting their heads off. I mean, it's just, that was the power the Americans took unto themselves in Guantanamo Bay, and now other people are literally carrying it out.
I don't think I'm really going beyond the call of duty. I think any military attorney that was assigned to represent David would do whatever was necessary to ensure that he got a fair trial. I don't think I'm doing anything that extreme.
Now, we can't talk about the David Hicks saga without mentioning Major Mori, who entered on the Australian scene as quite a character. Tell us about his role in all of this.
What they did was they set up a defence unit within the American military that was intended to defend these people. I can't say I was overly impressed with the defence unit that they had, but certainly Maury went out of his way to publicise the Hicks matter and worked very hard on it.
The governments of the day said David Hicks will never return to Australia. He did, and he eventually got released. Can you just explain what that chain of events was? He was pardoned by the US.
Well, what really happened, and I know this, it was a realisation by the Howard government that they had an election coming up, and the polling, I was told, was showing a 2% swing that was Hicks-related, which, and a 2% swing in a national poll is huge. And so Howard set about a chain of events that saw Hicks being released, and so a deal was done to get Hicks out of there. And it's understandable that you know, David was very keen to get out of there after 5 years, a lot of it in solitary. So he agreed to a plea where he didn't actually have to admit what he had done, but rather that he agreed to plead guilty and do a deal to get out. And part of that deal was he would come back to Australia and do 9 months in jail and be subject to other orders when he came back.
He did eventually get out of jail. He's written a memoir. The Australian government has continued to be pretty vindictive about David Hicks, haven't they? What's the story of the money from the book?
Well, the Australian government seized it on the basis that it was the proceeds of a crime, so he was making a profit from his crime. And I didn't actually act for him during that matter, but it was pretty clear that would have been an opportunity for David to prove, for once and for all, that he was actually innocent. And the Australian government ran it to the day before, I think it was, the trial was due to start, and then agreed to hand all the money back and pay his legal fees.
So why did they do that?
Well, I suspect they knew that the defence would be that David Hicks had never committed any crime, so therefore it could hardly be the proceeds of any crime. And so they would have lost. And I think that's what would have motivated them to try and settle it.
He continues to be seen as a criminal by many people because that's never been really made public. Is that the case, do you think?
After he came back to Australia, I did commence acting for him again, and I then took an application in the US military commissions on his behalf, and we ran through the whole system again over a number of years and eventually got his conviction set aside. So he was completely innocent. But the trouble was he'd had 5 or 6 years of being completely guilty, tarnished by the press, and branded a terrorist, whereas the story of his vindication occupied one day in the press, so nobody knows that he was actually, he's an innocent man, and I think that's the problem.
When you look back at that whole saga all those years, 2002 to I think 2016, when the UN actually supported his vindication, what should we be learning from that? What lessons are there to be learnt from that?
Well, I think that the main lesson is that the Geneva Convention is a very important document in terms of prisoners of war. It became very significant that those countries that followed the Geneva Convention during the Second World War, most of their people came home. Those that didn't, like Russia, the Germans who were captured by the Russians, and certainly the Russians who were captured by the Germans, it was only 50% of those prisoners ever came home alive. So the Geneva Convention is critically important if we are going to continue to go to war with each other. And it should be enforced and observed, but the Americans have effectively ripped it up. And I think that is, their poor behaviour in the treatment of prisoners of war has now lowered the standard so low that no one will ever follow it again.
So you're still in touch with David and his father occasionally. How does he feel now about what's happened over the years?
Well, I don't think I can really speak for David, but it was a pretty tough time for him, I can say that, and the way he's been treated back in Australia and the misunderstanding that people have about him is appalling. He's an innocent man. He should be treated as such, and he certainly never was and never will be any sort of terrorist.
Steve Kenny, lawyer to David Hicks. We were covering the David Hicks story because we're looking back at 2004 this week because it's our 15th anniversary on The Wire. More stories. We'll look at the Murray, another story that's lasted the distance on The Wire tomorrow.